Amen. If you will, we'll look at Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 11. And we'll read that in just a moment. But if you'll take a good look at it, I want to talk to you today about the fact that we have only one God. Three personalities, three expressions, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. And it is critical that we know that. The thing that I wanted to start with today has to do with the watershed of creation itself. What is the watershed of creation? God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. We've got to remember that. I have a book. It's really an interesting book, and I hope that you can find one. This is called From Goo to You by Way of the Zoo. And it is written by Harold Hill. He is a physician, but he's written a lot of books. The thing that a lot of people want to talk to me about is if we're going to talk evolution or anything like that, I want science. Okay? This has two forwards in it. This is the revised edition. I don't know whether you could even find it now. If you can, get it. It's not an expensive book, but it's excellent. The first forward is written by Wernher von Braun. You don't have a clue who he was, do you? Some of you do. You know, he was raised up in Germany, and he became a rocket scientist there. But he came to his senses and came over here. And he was the main force that got the rocket that would take our men to the moon. So he is a brilliant scientist. The second forward is by one of the astronauts that walked on the moon. In this book. And so it is well worth you getting it if you can. From Goo to You by Way of the Zoo. One of the things that I would point out, it talks about how things got started. How do you think things got started? It depends on how much animation you put on a computer, I guess. There's a little poem in this book. Actually, the little book was a much smaller book, and the poem was only one page. But since they revised it, now it's 10 pages. Protozoan is my name. Just call me Little Proto. I'm sorry that I have no proof, not even a passport photo of my beginning back in time when from a glob of goo, supposedly, I started things from goo to the zoo to you. Huh. Evolution says goo. God says, or the Bible says, God. And I don't care how God did it, but God did it. And it sounded to me like when I read it, when he did it, he did it. He didn't have to horse around about it. He just spoke and it became. And it's called ex nihilo, whenever that's the word that is used, out of nothing. You know, a guy was going to show God that he could make man just like he did out of dirt. And so God said, okay, show me. And then he said, whoa, wait a minute, get your own dirt. You got to get your own dirt. Sorry. Well, this is the watershed of all the Bible. And when you look at it, the watershed is extremely important. This is, we'll look at two passages today, and I want you to use your Bible to do so. It may be on the screen. One of them may be on the screen. It should be. But it is... Let me find it here. Deuteronomy 5, 6. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no gods before me or beside me or any other excuse. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above or on earth, beneath and in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing children for their sins, for the sins of their fathers, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will hold no one guiltless that does so. Well, you look at that passage, and what is it saying to us? It tells us that if it is the basic belief of what we are and who we are, and this is really what we've been talking about, it is a basic belief that the Lord God is Creator. And hear what it says. I am the Lord your God. You know what that means? I am the Lord your God. He's not your best buddy. He is not someone that you walk up to and hug. When you see God, you hit your knees on the concrete. You bow. Because he is the Lord your God. And that means he is unique. There's only one. There's only one. There's not a bunch. There's only one. And he is the Lord your God. He is the Lord. You know what that means? That is a relationship. He is the Lord. And do you know, whenever you find that in the Old Testament, when it's Yahweh, it's all capital. He is the Lord your God. He is unique. And it is a relationship that you have, because he is also God, the deliverer. Love the song. The cross made all the difference in the world. Jesus loved you in spite of your sin. He came to earth because of our sin. He died for our sins, but he was resurrected on the third day as Lord of all. And so we look at this and realize this is saying that he is our God, the one who brought salvation, the one who delivers us from death. There's no other God. It says, don't you dare worship anything else. You don't worship idols. You don't do the things that are passed down from the fathers before us when they made idols. You don't do it. Idols are hurtful. They break the fellowship with God, and it is an affront to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is God. And we need to recognize that he is God. There are no other gods. Don't worship any of those. And he says, if you obey, that will reach down for a thousand generations. Are we still passing that kind of love for God on? I am grateful that we're working on Vacation Bible School. And I'm grateful that we're going to put a lot of effort in it. And we're going to do a lot of outreach. And we're going to do a lot of inreach, because it can't be built by two people. But we're going to do it big, because we need children coming here realizing we're to love God. and we're to know God and to walk with Him. And it is for that thousand that we're looking for. We want that thousand generation. So if that's true, then you look at what it says. There is only one God, and that is God's demand. It isn't a suggestion. He's not quietly saying, you know, I hope you'll make that choice. It is a command. He is demanding from us that He is our God. And there is no other God. It is a command and not a plea. I am the Lord your God, He says. I am the Lord your God. That ought to drive you to your knees. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, they were delivered from the house of slavery, remember? When the Ten Commandments were handed down. They couldn't believe what was all happening, but God worked miracles all the way around. It's amazing what God did. And you know, I think when you see the Red Sea part and you get through it alive, that ought to get your attention. And we think about what God does. We need to know He has delivered us from the slavery of sin. I'm grateful for that delivery from sin. And we've got to recognize, it says, I am a jealous God. Are you ever jealous? There's always a battle in my house. My wife wants to sit by me. My cat wants to sit by me. And neither one of them. It's always a fight for the chair. And it's fun. But you know, God doesn't play that kind of game. He is jealous for our attention. There is no other God but me. Got this kind of an interesting little statement. Man is surely stark, raving mad. He cannot make a flea, and yet he can make gods by the dozens. Second thing about this is there's only one God, and that is God's desire. God desires to be the one and only God. He delivered them from slavery. He is jealous. God blesses those who keep His commandments. I want you to turn over just a couple of pages to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. I believe that's the right one. No, it's 6:24. Excuse me. I'm having a tough time seeing in this light with this microphone in my face. 6:24. I'll find it here a second. Maybe somebody else could read that for me. The Lord commands us to obey all these decrees and the fear of the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we be careful to obey this law before the Lord our God, He has commanded us to do, then He will be our righteousness. That's kind of an amazing statement, isn't it? You recognize that God wants us there. He wants us to be His individual relationship. He wants a personal relationship with you. And it isn't a desire, it's a command. And so you look at this and you realize, you know, they've been freed from slavery, but God desires fellowship. You know what is really interesting? We meet God where He wants to meet. We meet at His place. And that's what's so important about our church. This is a place where we come together, but we meet God on His grounds. You've got to always put Him in that perspective to realize that's where we will meet Him. And we're freed from slavery. He wants fellowship. You know what makes a husband and wife relationship last? Faithfulness. God expects us to be faithful. And you know, if you look at that, faithfulness is in caps because it's important. And then it's also only one God. That's God's design for us. That's how we've been made. What does it tell us? We're to make no idols. We're to worship no idols. We don't have any of those idols. The love of God, we keep His commandments. The love of God, we keep His commandments. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either we'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and, this says God and money, but it's God and anything else. Whatever you put in that place. You cannot be divided. You cannot serve God and a speedboat. Think about what we make our gods. I have a name down here you may not know. What if Donald Sterling apologized? He was the longtime owner of the Clippers. He hated black people. He did. He hated them. And he did everything he could to get them separated. And he went through all kinds of trouble with the people who were over the owners of these clubs. And the question is, well, what if he apologized? You know, would you think that the apology might be just a little bit empty? It's not an apology, it's his actions. He could talk a good game, but his actions were wrong. And he would not ever be able to get anywhere. Just remember this. The Bible begins, in the beginning, God. Scripture teaches, I am God and I am one. It also says, I am Alpha and Omega. Greek letters. Beginning of the alphabet, end of the alphabet. Beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega. Today, we need to recognize how much we need to honor God. And whether you, I don't care what you think about evolution. I wasn't worried about that. But if you want to meet Protozoa, you can buy the book. And he has a lot of good stuff to say. But my desire is that today we make a commitment that our Lord God is our Lord God. And that is the number one principle for our church. As we unfold the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about our connections, how we are connected with Baptist work and with mission work around. And as we talk about how we are connected, it is extremely important that we realize we serve God first and we serve the way He wants us to serve. And God has a purpose and a reason for this church. And this church has got to put God first. And so as we begin the things that are going to happen over the next few days, the next few weeks, we've got to put God first. And I will take time out next week to observe Mother's Day. Don't we have a baptism next week? Okay. I just wanted to be sure that we did. We've got a baptism on Mother's Day. And I've had a request that when we get through with the baptism, that we have the Lord's Supper so this young man can serve the Lord's Supper for the first time. Won't that be exciting? And I just feel like we're going to have a great day next week. And so don't mess it up. And I would point out, if you're not going to go shopping, you're not going to get your wife a new truck, are you? No, good. She doesn't want a new truck. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. 9 o'clock, missions group. In reach and outreach. We need all the help we can get because we need in reach and we do need outreach. We need to bring people back that are here and we need to go get more. So that's the whole point. So next Saturday, 9 o'clock, right here, down the hall. Okay. Well, I'm going to extend an invitation to you. If you have any decision that you need to make, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and let's sing. And...